The reading, as David has just said, is from Mark chapter 14, verses 22 to 26, and it's on page 1020 of your pew Bibles, page 1020. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it. This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Amen.
I was young, and faith was newly discovered. A new world had opened to me. A new relationship was now known. A new wonder at the meaning of life and my purpose in it. And all of that took me to church. But being young and with faith that was newly discovered brought with it a question. Where to go? My answer was to return to the church I had known as a child. Easily 15 years had passed, yet it seemed the right thing to do. And there I went. In my own way, I was seeking to discover and explore just what a Christian was. More than that, what a Christian should be. And more than that, what a Christian should do. All of which brought into question what church was and what it should be like. But if there was one aspect of church which challenged and perplexed me, it was communion. In this particular church, communion was shared, celebrated, received, however you want to describe it, monthly. That was good, except that I wasn't sure whether to take it or not. And that uncertainty was born out of where I was and who I was with. And that in turn related to my understanding at that time of the work of salvation. It wasn't because I particularly felt unworthy. After all, look further and deeper into New Testament teaching, and Mark's brief account of the Lord's Supper leads to the Apostle Paul. And in Paul's teaching, there's an implicit instruction issued to all who come to believe. That is, do this in remembrance of me. For although Mark doesn't state it, Paul makes mention of Jesus' words. Words which also have a prophetic implication. And so Paul said, whenever you do this, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. A message for all time to every Christian that as they take bread and wine in the context of communion, they are not only remembering, but representing a truth that Jesus died. But more than that he rose again. For that's what his sacrifice led to. Yes, he took our place. And yes, he paid the price that sin demanded. And yes, he fulfilled prophecies of old to do so. But he also did so in order to rise again. He did so in order to ascend to heaven, and he did so in order to return, to establish not just a new covenant, but also a new kingdom. But as we represent the truth that Jesus died and all that means, we do something more. For as bread and wine is received and consumed, those who do so signify a further truth, meaning that your participation in communion as a believer is a signal to those around, to the community around us, to society which surrounds all the more, and to the world of which we are a part, all of which signifies that there is hope, that there is a future, that life is worthwhile, that there is purpose in it all. And so, whilst there is certainly free will, there's also a plan. And whilst there is certainly salvation, there's also a destiny. Coming to that understanding helped me to recognize not just an invitation, but a purpose to participating in communion. Something I could do in response to Jesus. Something that you and I can do together in response to unbelief. And if you were to ask me how often that should take place, I'd respond by saying, as often as possible. But as I think back to that first church I attended, there was a further uncertainty. Being young and with a faith that was newly discovered, I wondered about sharing communion with just anyone. What if people didn't believe as I did, was my presumption? What if their participation in communion was for all manner of reasons, tradition included? For Jesus' sacrifice and the symbolism of it was not to be taken lightly or without consideration, as far as I'd been instructed. And whilst that's true, there's a further truth for the church. Not just the one I attended first, but for the church at large. For communion brings to mind the doctrine of the church. And that leads to two choices. Should the church be regarded as a mixed body, involving believers as well as unbelievers? Or should it be regarded as a pure body, consisting only of believers? In other words, what about holiness and the implication of it? What does it mean personally? And how should that be demonstrated? Go back to church history and you'll find the same questions asked. But go back to church history and a solution is made known. During the 2nd and 3rd century, the Donatist controversy raged, a time when the desire for human and spiritual purity was championed. To this came a response from one of the early church fathers, the theologian Augustine of Hippo. Augustine countered the Donatist teaching by going back to the New Testament. By doing so, he highlighted the sinfulness of Christians. All who have believed and all who have been redeemed, but who are still tainted by the effect of sin in this world. And so Augustine concluded that the church is not intended to be a pure body, a society of saints alone, on their own, but rather a mixed body, corpus intermixedum, involving saints and sinners together. This, according to Augustine, reflects the church in the world, active and present, and to attempt any kind of separation would be premature and improper. Instead, Augustine's view was that this was for God to do and to decide at a future time, all leading to another view of holiness, one which removes focus and attention from those who are in the church, placing it instead on Jesus, meaning that the church is made holy by Jesus, a holiness which will be perfected and finally realized at the last. That takes us back to Jesus and his words, back to Mark and his account of the Last Supper, a message not just of invitation from Jesus, but of sharing, of participation, of experience, as God gives opportunity to share in who his Son is. For if we share in his body, we share not just with the one who was broken, but with the one who breaks the power of sin. And if we share in his blood, we share not just with the one who was pierced, but with the one who cleanses us of our sin. And by doing so, whether it be once or repeatedly, we take our place in sharing with him at the time when he drinks afresh, when his kingdom comes. In the meantime, I, for one, am going to church. I'll take communion whenever it's served, and as often as it can be, knowing all the while that my need of him is all the greater, yet knowing that it is because of what he has done for me, much more than what I have done for him. And so whether you're new to the faith or not, or whether faith is yet to be found, that is as true for you as it is for me. And ultimately it answers the question, where to go, what to do, and where to do it, all in Jesus' name.